Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hologram Radio Show. My name is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
And I'm Ash Riot.
And we're here on this beautiful, kind of rainy, not-so-rainy Sunday evening here in Vancouver, broadcasting live. This is something we are doing. We're kind of tightroping. Tightrope walking, right, Ash?
Sure are.
We've come up with a topic, and we're going to just talk about it. We haven't done any research other than what's in our hearts and minds and what we've already learned and what we know. And so we're just going to go off the cuff, and our title for our topic tonight is Love, Hatred, Light, Dark, Yin, and Yang. And I have a subtitle here, Are Opposites Necessary for Each to Know the Other? And so we wanted to start with our song, The Fusion, because The Fusion is basically the hologram message in a song, is it not?
It is, and we played it last radio show in full, but we want to give that to you one more time, just to, I think it'll really encompass the idea of the topic of the show.
That's right, so just listen to The Fusion, and we'll get back to you.
Encompasses me beneath the stars above the sea. Enthralled on earth, watching you, knowing I have a part in this too. Faithlessly watching, wait for dim eyes, severing my old earthly disguise. Enthralled on earth, watching you, knowing we have a part in this too. World of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not baffled with exclusion. Bring all love in for the fusion. Watch the wind blow power out, stronger than what we were about. And to me, forgotten thieves pressed upon these autumn leaves. Angelic hosts be known to us, falling faster than we trust. Watch the circles born of light, speaking while we're all up all night. This is a world of illusion, so I honor all delusion. Be not bound. Bring our love in for the fusion. We live in a world of illusion. It serves us, yet we must come back to love. The love revolution is within each and every one of us. A knowing, a higher understanding. We all embrace it. All we have to do is accept. Illusion, so I honor all illusion. Be not
All right. That was our song, The Fusion. That's going to be available on iTunes June the 1st. So that's not long from now, is it? A week and a bit. Ash is eating wine gum.
Hi. I'm going to chew fast and it hurts.
So our topic, love, hatred, light, dark, yin, yang, are opposites necessary for each to know the other? It's something that came to me because of my own experience around spirituality, because of my own experience in my lifetime with regards to how to accept hatred, how to accept darkness, and the darker part of all life, and tempering it with the opposites. And I was told when I became a born-again Christian back when I was a teenager and very much involved in the Christian movement, I was told that I was born a sinner and that there was only one way that I could actually be relieved of my sins, and that basically I lived in this kind of lousy world, and my main focus was my heaven. My main focus was to find heaven. And so it never really kind of resonated with me. I mean, I've always been a very huge fan. I mean, we talk about fans. I'm a fan of Jesus. I think Jesus rocks. And so that's really what kind of brought me into the Christian movement. But what was the other stuff that didn't serve me was me and my guilt. I was constantly in my head. I don't know if anybody else can relate, but this is honest. I constantly was in my head telling myself, just fighting these dark thoughts because I felt plagued. I didn't even feel in control of my darkness, the darker part of me. And so it actually was a little bit of a personal hell. Always feeling that I was doing wrong as opposed to doing right, not really having the correct intention to do right, because I think my intention around doing right was more about fear. I was afraid of what would happen to me if I didn't, as opposed to actually celebrating doing right, because it felt really wonderful. And by right, I'm using right and wrong loosely here, people, so please understand that. I'm not trying to be judging what is right or what is wrong, but what feels comfortable versus what feels uncomfortable. But so I was thinking, how has my walk, you know, changed? And it's definitely influenced in the work that I do, my music, the lyrics that I write, the poetry that I write, just my very being, everything. You know, we all are, you know, we're all an amalgamation of all of our experiences. So I'm just going to let Ash speak now. I can speak more, but I just want you to, now that your wine gum is done.
Well, I agree with everything you're saying. To me, the hardest thing about, I guess, these opposite emotions, like love, hatred, light, dark, yin, yang, the topic of the show, is that it took me a really, really long time to see how, even though they're complete opposites, how closely tied they are. Even back when I was growing up and stuff, and I'd go, why is this happening to me? Oh my God, this is just so horrible. And I never really remembered that even in a dark place, things can be learned. And I think once I really got hold of that, went, okay, oh, this just isn't like a tragedy. This is something I can learn from. I mean, when I was 11, I had to go in the hospital twice because I fell. I was a total jock. And I was playing a lot of football, and I fell, and it was just horrible. And I was limping for about 6 or 7 months, and I had to have 2 surgeries. I'm so scared of hospitals, but I still, you know, if I need to go, I'll go. But it was really horrible. Like, my whole life, I was in a wheelchair. My whole life completely got turned upside down, and that's when I found music. I wouldn't have found music otherwise. I probably would be a football star or something, right? I was seriously majorly into sports. And so the fact that the worst thing in the world that could have happened to me, being such a sports fanatic, happened to me. I was in a wheelchair. Like, come on. I can't really, you know, toss a football or play hockey in a wheelchair. I mean, you can, but, I mean, not the way I wanted to. So it really took me, I guess, that experience to go, oh, wait. You know, there is a yin and yang. There is light and dark. There is love and hatred, and they can work together to just keep you on a path, to keep you on the right path. It's not always going to be straight ahead, and it's not always going to be a tunnel of darkness. So it's learning to really be okay with both, I find. Instead of trying to tell anything what to be, just let it go. Because as soon as you do let it go, it will go back to light, I believe.
Naturally, a natural evolution. Mm-hmm. As you're speaking, I'm just thinking about even, I mean, I wrote that All Dark Places, basically the song that sang about my dark places being coming undone, meaning the light had basically come into them. I'm just getting back to my old belief system. My old belief system is that dark and light were separate, like evil and good, and that I had to fight one or the other, or I had to fight one to gain the other. And I think the biggest gift that I gave myself was getting out of that insanity, because it really did cause me a lot of mental anguish. And I can relate to a lot of people who are, we've actually had talks on this program with a gentleman, almost at the very beginning of our program, I remember, it was Randy.
Oh, yeah.
And if Randy, if you're out there, I want to say thank you for sharing so honestly your own experience in your religious structure. I don't know. What should we call it?
Structure.
It is structure, right? And again, I'm not slamming religion, okay? This is, again, it's important that each of us find our own way. But I think, okay, personally, I do slam religion. I'll be really candid. It doesn't work for me. But that being said, I am not saying it won't work for you. But I think what's important for all of us to understand is the integration is vital, because if we continue to go through life fighting our darkness, then all we're left is being in the fight. There is no release. There is no solution. We don't come to the other side and see that the two do coexist. But I'm even going one step further now in my own life experience, and this is pretty big for me, because I never would have thought that this would be my experience. But here I am today saying that I believe that the darker parts of each of us are not really serving anymore. And so I think that we've all been told, because philosophy is big for me too, and for those of you who know me, I'm big on quotes, and I love writers. I'd say if I was a fan, I'm mostly a fan of poets and writers and musicians too, but it's the writers that really get to me. And there's so many truths in it, and they resonate with me. And I can read something that Oscar Wilde wrote, or I can read something that Lord Byron wrote, or Sylvia Plath, or Virginia Woolf. And Goethe, right? I can find my own humanity in their words. So I know that I'm not alone. I know that there's something bigger than just the me, the I. And so if I function dark, light, yin, yang, love, hatred, if that's my experience, then how do I understand and believe that I don't have to reside in the dark, the hatred? And I think this is my worldview right now, is I think a lot of us, I've talked about Yoko Ono, but I praise her too, because Yoko's all about peace, and we have the peacekeepers. Patti Smith talks a lot about, you know, revolution, but revolution for a solution, not so much for the sake of being an anarchist, right? It's not to be destructive, it's to maybe wake the people up and bring them to themselves, bring them back to their own light, their own inner light, their own inner guidance. So I'm kind of coming full circle, because I'm just thinking personally that for thousands of years, my understanding of history based on my studies is that we've constantly and consistently been love, hate, dark, light. We've been in wars, we've been in peace, we've been in love, we've been in hate. And how much has it served us? Is there a time right now where maybe it really needs to change and shift away from the opposites? Perhaps the opposites are no longer necessary. That's my question for you. Do you feel in your own life that it's important to constantly and consistently have the opposites, light, dark, evil, good, war, peace, love, hatred? Is it vital that we have the opposites in order to experience this life? Do we need them? Or are the darker parts no longer serving? Are we kind of shifting into our own kind of, I don't know, utopia? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Or are we supposed to live on this planet just accepting war, accepting hatred, accepting rape, accepting abuse of children, accepting prostitution where women feel violated and it's not really their choice? Again, we're all about choice. I mean, free will, free choice, as long as it's not causing harm. But when it's causing harm to ourselves, when it's destructive, when it causes us to feel that we don't want to live, when it causes us to feel that life is nothing but a chore, it's grueling, it's just, we're just waiting for our death so we can find our heaven. I think that's so sad. I mean, Joseph Campbell talked about eternity being in the now. This is all we have. So instead of us waiting and wishing our lives away, just looking for the apple at the end of our road, which is this heaven that perhaps we've been promised, why are we not living in our heaven in the now? Why are we not just accepting the love, the light, the peace? That's my question. And these are things I even ask myself, so I'm not sharing anything that I don't kind of self-examine. And you'll see that in the work, and we shared the fusion. We shared the fusion because it's our kind of anthem song, and that song came about quite uniquely because in the studio, actually, that middle part, the bridge, I got this brainstorm when I was actually recording the song, and I said to Kevin that I wanted to speak. I felt that I was supposed to speak, do spoken word, and I didn't write a single word down. I didn't write a single word down. It just came off the fly. Now, there were three different versions of that I did, and Kevin put in the one that fit the song the most or that he liked the best. And so that, to me, is just my deepest part of me, the honesty that's deep within me coming out, because there's no nothing rehearsed, nothing overthought. It comes from that deepest, highest place. I mean, it's both deep and high at the same time. Is there anything you want to say, Ash?
Well, how are we supposed to shift in darkness? When we're caught on the line of darkness, we're not really allowing anything else in. When we're light, we're open. And lightness to me is openness. Because when there's dark, it wouldn't make a difference if your eyes were open or closed. You'd still see the same thing. So when we're caught in the light, when we're embracing the light, it's a lot easier to open new experiences. It's a lot easier to realize things about yourself in order to shift. Because if we're really just stuck, if we're stagnated, and we're not letting ourselves see any of the beauty that's around us, I mean, you can't really see a lot of beauty in hate. You can't see a lot of color in the yin and the yang. So it really forces us, when we finally go, okay, there's a lot of light around. Why not really just grab hold of that and grasp that and wring it out like a sponge? For me, I've always wanted to stay in the love and light and yin. And without realizing anything, let's say negative, and still staying in the positive, knowing that the negative exists, but refusing to reach out and grab it, is the first step. It's not ignoring that negativity is actually a piece of life, but it's really refusing to become it. And I think that, in totality, is honestly what will allow us to shift and move forward, to allow the principles of positivity to shape you. Because if we're unshapable, so to speak, how are we really going to form into anything but what we are now? So there's a lot more, but I mean, it's all I know is that in order to really, really understand oneself is to find things that you like about yourself. Because if you're really just in that mode of, I don't want to do this, I don't like this, I don't like this about myself, what are you going to create but what you don't want to see? So I believe that love and hatred, while they're one and the same, you can refuse the one that does not serve you. In light and dark, sure, it's nice to close your eyes and close the blinds and sleep sometimes, but it's all about the light. It has to be, because if you wake up and you're still in the darkness, it's going to screw you up. So what do you have to say?
I think what you said, that was beautiful. I think we should do more unscripted shows coming from the heart. I want to invite everybody who's listening out there. For those of you who feel led to just even call us, we'd love to hear from you. 888-815-9756. Tell us your own views on love, hatred, light, dark, yin, yang.
888-815-9756.
We've got Terry from Texas on line 3. Or is that Carrie? Don is so cute. He keeps putting your name up, not Carrie. So this time you're Terry again.
I know.
So hey, Carrie, how are you
doing? That's me. I'll answer to just about anything.
Well, we know when we get a call from Texas and it says either Terry or Jerry or Larry that it's you.
That's me.
So, Carrie, what do you have to say?
Well, all right. Simply, you were talking about, you know, getting to see so many different things in the light.
Yeah.
It's kind of the opposite for me. I saw more when I was at my darkest moments, when I know what I can do. I had to take care of my family and live a very dark life doing it. I had to do things that I'm not proud of, but I know. And I'm not saying that I would go back there, but I'm saying in those moments, I learned what I was capable of. And I learned what the world is capable of. So I don't always see this idea of the dark being, you know, the stagnant only thing that you see. No, there are a lot of shades of dark.
There's a lot of shades of dark, you said? A lot of shades?
Yeah. There's a lot of shades of dark.
There's a lot of gray, right?
Not even just gray. To be down in that, to be stuck in that, there's still a lot of things to see. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the tortured artist is what you have to be in order to live, but there's still a lot of things to see when you're down there, and anyone who's been down there knows. And I'm not going to say the things that I've done I'm proud of, but I wouldn't take them back. I just wouldn't take them back.
It's not about taking anything back. There are a lot of things that I wish I could go back and change, but I wouldn't be here now so alive.
Well, I mean, growing up, I had a very clear plan to not be alive by 21. I'll be honest. That was the goal.
Wow.
But, well, you know that I met Jackie and then she just screwed that up. So then I had to make all new plans.
She made you want to live.
No, she made me get, like, goals and, you know. And she got me away from my family and, then you have to be sane because no one else is crazy, you know.
You can't be the only crazy person in the room, right?
Yeah. When you're in a room full of crazy people, you can look at them and go, God, you're crazy. But
but, you know, I think what happens, I'll just share a little bit about my story is I can totally relate because, for example, when I was a drug addict, I would always compare myself to other drug addicts. And so I was never as bad as, right? I was never as bad as. And so it's interesting how you can sort of stay in that unhealthy lifestyle because it certainly didn't serve.
Ash knows that because Ash, you remember the conversation we had about that?
Yeah.
years and years ago where I said you'll walk into a room and there'll be a bunch of drug addicts, and the one that is talking to you will be like, oh, well, we're not as bad as that guy. And then six months later, that guy is the guy who was in, you know, is now in the corner. You're like, yeah, but we're not as bad as that guy.
You know, I know. And that's the truth, and that's the insanity of the addiction, right? Mm-hmm. That's the mm-hmm. insanity of addictive behavior.
Yeah. Well, so, I've been down that road, and I've done that thing, and, you know, to me, that was the least of my... I literally had to fight to take care of my family. I had to use my fists. I had to do a lot of things to take care of my family because they needed money. And this is going to sound really silly, but I was reminded of a story the other day. When you live that life, it either makes you absolutely numb or very, very angry. You either have to stay angry, to stay fighting, to stay in that mindset, or you just get numb to everything. And one of my best friends in the world, I went up to her house, and she just looked at me and boldface said, as much as the world beats the hell out of you, they just can't take the sweetness out of those eyes, can they?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Wow.
And I just remember going, oh, crap. You know, like, maybe I'm going to be okay. Maybe it is okay. Maybe I was doing the wrong thing for the right reason. And to me, that's the dark light that I don't always understand. Sometimes you have to live in the dark to see the light. If I hadn't helped my family, how much darker would it have been?
Well, you see, I really honor what you are saying about being in the dark place and all the different shades of it and how you saw a lot in the dark, because it does serve to see things in the dark so you'll know what to grow from. I was speaking to Cheryl the other day about a ladder and how each step you climb, you're going to be at a different place no matter if you want to or not. Your objective is still to climb that ladder. And you might not even know what the view looks like at the top, but you're still climbing to somewhere. So you still start from the bottom. No matter what, you can't just levitate and start it halfway up the ladder. I'm sure there are ways. But you can't...
No, there's no way. People just tell you that. They lie.
So there's no shame in starting at the bottom of the ladder, because really there's no other way to do it. You got to climb up from somewhere.
That's the way it should be, though. If you started at the top, where is there?
Well, if you start, a lot of people think that they can start in the middle of somewhere. They think that they can just absolve themselves from any hardships just by, you know, even the way they view their own life. Even the way they look down on others' lives. I'd like to talk even about where we were last night and the energies soon, but we have some more things to say. But I really enjoy the fact that you are completely open to exploring where you once were to where you are now. And that's very admirable, because most people want to cover that with a really thick sheet.
Yeah, most of us want to hide. Eh? Yeah.
I can't do it. It's always going to be there. And if I sit back and say, oh, I didn't do those things, that wasn't me, it'll come. I truly believe it'll come back to the surface. But if I look at it and go, yep, that happened, that was me, it's not me anymore, then
but Carrie,
I'm better.
Yeah, Carrie, you're basically, you're speaking something from a very personal place and very openly and honestly, and I also admire it, because you're saying, of course, to you, it's self-evident that you will get freedom when you actually have that depth of honesty. And not only freedom, you'll also have connection. You will allow yourself to connect to others, and they will see things in you, and you will bring, you know, inspiration. And even you sharing your story on the radio show, there are people out there listening who will relate. And because of your words, they will find inspiration, hope, and maybe look at their own lives and not judge themselves so harshly. But if we see ourselves as kind of a microcosm of the entire planet, we think about world politics, for example, how many people in places and positions of power and celebrity or being known, how much is it about putting a spin on things? How many people divert attention as opposed to wishing to be completely open and honest? I mean, this is part of the love revolution that Hologram is talking about. And this is why we share our own stories so openly and honestly. And it's not always easy, because we, you know, even if I'll take my own life, for example, there's things that I've shared openly. I've shared about my drug addiction. I've shared about being raped. I've shared about abuse issues. And, you know, it leaves me to becoming vulnerable. It leaves me feeling a little bit open, a lot open, actually. And even being a performer, even as a performer, I feel completely raw and open because, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people more frequently would rather tear us down than build us up. And we know that as artists. We know that we're kind of going to be taking the brunt more than we're going to be taking the love. And that's why we're not doing it for that. We're doing it because it serves ourselves. We're getting back to self-honesty. And in self-honesty, we can actually make a difference. But if we continue to lie to ourselves, to the world, about our lives, about our darkness, pretending that we don't have it, you know, it's only when we actually share these things that light is brought to it. And you're speaking about the darkness that you've experienced, and you wouldn't be who you were, and you have a direct relationship between knowing what is a better life as opposed to the life that you led. I mean, I don't think that you'd want to go back. I know for a fact that I wouldn't want to go back. And I have learned a lot and gained a lot, and I've sat in rooms of Narcotics Anonymous meetings, and I've done speaker meetings and whatnot, and I've shared my story because I get freedom the more I share it, but I also get to tell someone else that they're not alone. And so that serves. It serves the whole. It doesn't just serve me. But I still feel that it goes a step beyond. Why was it that I felt for so many years that I had to literally embrace my darkness? I found solace in my depression. It served me to a point. You know, it got me empathy, sympathy. I could get attention from others when I stayed in my sadness. Now it's just about being real. It's about being available to myself with empathy and sympathy. But it's also, I don't put up with a lot of it from other people when I know that they're intentionally trying to drain my energy. It's not about necessarily, I know the difference. I can feel the difference energetically when someone really needs me to be empathetic and sympathetic. And when somebody just wants to take my energy, they basically are in their kind of downward spiral. They've decided that they're setting themselves up, that darkness serves them to a certain degree. I mean, why do women who are abused stay in abusive relationships? A lot of times it's because it's all that they know and they're afraid of change. And it seems really crazy. And I've worked with a lot of women who are in those situations. And it seems crazy to us, but it makes total sense to them. And it makes sense when you're in it. But it's until you actually get some distance that you realize and recognize, which is what you have, Carrie. You have distance from that life that you led to the life that you lead now. And so you can look back at it and you can see how it served you. But this is what I'm talking about with the opposites. You can see your light now because of the darkness that you had before. But what if we were just to stop accepting that darkness has to be a part of it? What if we did that?
And I agree with you. In a great situation, that would be great. I mean, yeah, that would be absolutely fabulous if we could say it doesn't have to be that way. But it kind of does. As human beings, as spiritual beings, we're not going to be able to live without the other. We're just not capable.
Is that an idea?
Isn't that within the full range of human emotions, though, is to have that darkness?
Not always. It's a choice in a way to stay really coherent and cohesive. I agree that we will always potentially be able to feel darkness, but we don't have to allow it in. So if we are really open to solution and we aren't so calloused in our own recovery of oneself or of one's light, the darkness won't have to penetrate as deeply. So maybe once we're healing the scars and once we're growing a thicker skin, we'll be able to, I don't know, just
see,
really
that's the problem. You have picked a question tonight that has no answer.
And that's the kind of questions we love, Carrie, and we love sharing with you. And we get to talk.
See, me too. My bipolar brain has already had like 20, you know, answers to this question, and none of them make any sense. You know, that's great. I dig it, and I love the conversation, and I love talking to you guys. You challenge me, and I like
love
being challenged.
Speaking with you.
Well, thank you, Carrie, and we really sincerely. Really, really love you and appreciate you and appreciate Jax. And you're both big in our hearts. Just know that.
Always, always. And please have a good night and have a good couple weeks. And
please call us.
Soon.
Call us anytime.
Call us again.
Because we really love the way you just refuse to stay in a box.
Yeah, we like your boxlessness.
My boxlessness?
That's
right. That's a new one. I've been called a lot of things. That's a new one.
It's a good thing to
all
not
right.
be
well,
in a box,
hold on,
Carrie.
Jack, do you want to say something, Jackie? Do you have time for Jackie?
Certainly. Certainly.
All right.
Very well. That's handy.
Hey, Jax.
How you guys doing?
We're good. How are you?
All right. I'm eating a very tasty portobello mushroom that we tried to grill, but we didn't have enough heat left in our grill.
So it's a little chewy?
Well, I finished it off in the oven, so it's still tasty, yeah. Just not what it could have been.
You love to cook, don't you, Jax?
No. I learn out of necessity, and I'm very not good at it, but I'm learning slowly.
I love to cook. I watch videos on YouTube all the time because
will teach me how to cook someday. How to cook like
Ash. Ash is a really great
chef. And then Carrie will teach me how to cook like Carrie.
I have something to ponder with you. Is that frequently lately I've been looking for recipes online. New ones to cook just to experiment with, and my favorite food is Mexican food. So I made for Cheryl the other morning huevos rancheros.
Oh, yes.
For the very first time. I've eaten it many times, but I've never cooked it. And the pride that comes from making something and consuming it yourself is unparalleled by any restaurant.
So there you go, Jack. See, that's inspiration.
I completely agree. See, that's why you guys have to come down to Texas sometimes. You can eat a whole bunch of Mexican food made by Mexicans.
Well, you know what? That's incentive enough. So whether we make it to Texas before you make it to Calgary, we'll see, huh?
You're
exactly.
So
exactly.
Jack,
okay,
Jack,
so I guess this whole dark white thing, right?
Yeah.
back on topic. all right, so this is my understanding based off of just reading other people in their teachings and stuff, is that the Earth itself, like our little world, is created purposely for us to experience these dichotomies and these opposites, and to work through the issues that come from, I think, defining things by opposites. So, in one way, the world will always have opposites to some extent. To whatever extent we allow them to affect our lives, that's a different story, but they'll always be here. so that everyone can go through their little soul paths and lessons and learning to deal with all these different opposites. I mean, learn to deal with darkness. And that's the specific challenge. It's like, you know, if the universe is an amusement park, that's what this ride is all about, is the opposites. And then if you go to another planet, their theme is going to be different. So to an extent, it has to be here. But I think the choice comes in with how much do you personally interact with the various opposites. Because I know, obviously, Carrie's gone through a hell of a lot of darkness and dealt with a lot of that and sort of the process of how do you overcome it. I haven't had that experience. And so for me, it's kind of an issue of, you know, how far can I go with allowing them maybe not to affect me as much? You know, how much can I stay sort of with my chosen focus of staying with the light versus, you know, darkness and negativity and that sort of thing? And in the end, I think, well, I don't believe in balance, like that it has to be equalized out, you know, equal amounts of good and bad and light and dark or whatever, but that the opposite has to exist at some point. There needs to be one example of sort of each opposite in order for us to experience the other. You know, like I can live a life focused on love and I can experience a whole lot of love as long as I know, you know, I can see an example of what it's like to live completely separate from love. It allows me to have that as a reference point and recognize, you know, kind of how good my life is at that time or that sort of thing, if that makes sense. Basically, we have the opposite as a reference point, and it'll probably always be here, but we don't have to personally experience it in order to use it as a defining reference point, if that makes sense.
It totally makes sense, Jax, and this is exactly why I tagged the title of our program with "Are Opposites Necessary for Each to Know the Other?" I was sharing at the beginning that was my belief too, because I thought, or I was taught, that if you don't have dark, you don't know light. If you don't have hatred, you don't know what love feels. If you don't have war, you don't know how wonderful peace will feel. But my question and what's been coming up for me lately, because these are all belief systems. I mean, recognize that we don't always have to retain our belief system. And where I first learned that is when I was in recovery. I had many belief systems that got me to my darker places, that I didn't realize they didn't serve me. And a lot of my belief systems were systems that were I was brought up with, I was raised with. So they were basically told to me. And I took them on as my own. And what I've had to do in my lifetime is I looked at each belief system, including, is dark necessarily part of this life experience, this world experience? I totally relate with what you're saying with regards to the planet, because I used to, I was the president of a board of a church a few years ago, and there's this one particular woman who would talk at the church and say, life is a school. We are here to be schooled. We are here about lessons. And even then, everything in me just fought that. I don't agree. I don't believe. See, my old belief system was exactly that I had to go through the dark places. I had to suffer in order for me to know non-suffering. And I'm totally shifting. My personal life right now is shifting into an even greater, a new belief system that's even foreign to me. And I don't necessarily even know where this is coming from. And this is why I wanted to talk about this, because if we all accept that this world is indeed a school, that we are meant to live dark and light, that we come to this experience so that we can, I don't know, I don't even like the word fight, that we can fight the darkness, that we can experience the darkness, we can come back to light and see how much better it feels, we can celebrate peace because it feels better, it feels like more of our natural, our true nature. What if we just said no to that? What if we're being asked to change that very belief system? And this is, again, getting back to the fusion. We talked, what was coming up in the bridge is It has served us. This has all served us. Everything. Every experience I've had in my life, every dark experience, every horrific tragedy that I've suffered, that I've suffered through other people that have had horrendous things done to them and shared their stories with me. And again, I have a connection to that because they share it. I feel their pain. But what if we were to all just say no? You know, Yoko and John had Give Peace a Chance. What I think Hologram, what our focus, what we feel led to do is give love a chance. And if we all were to come back to love and back to being out of our boxes, and Don was so cute because we message each other while we're doing the program, and he said he loves it, boxlessness. What if each of us were to discard our boxes? What if we were to just let go of the ideas that we think are concrete, ideas that we believe to be true, and say, are they? Are they true? Are they true for us? Do we need to revisit our belief systems? Do we need to rework our belief systems? And if we all just resided in love, what would that mean? Just love alone. What would that mean for this planet? Because do you feel that love, if we were to focus on love for ourselves, for each other, for the planet, would we actually accept darkness as part of that experience? That's my question. That's my question to all of you.
Okay, I'm trying to make sure. I just think where the difference between even what that woman was teaching of that life is a school and we have to learn things and everything, and where you're at with trying to understand how to transcend that is actually only a subtle shift. And part of it also can be just wording, because I think when it comes to any individual person's life, we don't have to experience everything. We definitely don't experience everything in one life. And it's not necessary. I mean, that's way too much. That would cause a poor little human brain to just go pop. But at the same time, I guess with my understanding, and it makes sense to me, is that we do come here. Specifically, we incarnate many times because this is the only place pretty much in the universe that is set up with these kind of laws, and not even laws, but like situations where we have the opportunity to face, you know, a whole range of positives and negatives and challenges as well as amazing experiences. So while one person's lifetime may be one where they're going to face a whole heck of a lot of darkness, and they may even get stuck in it and get off track for a while. Whereas, you know, I think for you, my guess at this point is that you've already faced a lot of your darkness, and you understand that the darkness isn't bad, but that the darkness is simply the things inside of us that we've shoved into the back corner of that closet somewhere and shut the door and locked it, and all that darkness does is it just kind of feeds on itself, and it you know, it's like locking a kid in a closet. They're going to just turn into this little feral, scared creature and lash out once they do get to peek out a little bit. But there are ways to do, you know, safely and responsibly shine the light on whatever is in your own little closet and bring it back out into the light, and it ceases to be that same, you know, guttural, just, I don't know, like the feral child that got locked in the closet. It ceases to be that as you can fully integrate it and bring it back and fully love all aspects of yourself. And I think that's, you know, it depends on how you define darkness. So the misunderstanding of darkness is of this horrible thing and we must be avoided and everything, but I think most people, as they progress spiritually, and spiritual teachers will teach that you have to embrace those dark parts of yourself and bring it into love, accept it, and understand it, and it no longer has that same grip over you. And you can live a life that's really focused on love and projecting love out into the world.
Well,
I don't know if that's at all kind of where, if that helps bridge the gap between what I said before.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I am completely in awe at your eloquence, because what, to me, this might sound listless, but I really do believe that even with the darkness, and when we're willing to shine the light on the darkness, that being on Earth really isn't so bad. If there is such a thing
as... It isn't for all of us. For some people it is, but it doesn't have to be bad, I think. So.
Right, that's exactly
it. I totally agree with you on that.
Well, exactly, because what I'm saying is, sure, we all go through things that are absolutely abhorrent and that we can't really imagine going through, but when the chance to move on does happen, I mean, if there's such a thing as reincarnation, which I'm sure we all believe there is, why would we come back here if it was so bad? I'm grateful to be here. Every single second I am just in awe of, because I had the choice to make it joyful, or I had the choice to make it completely disengaged. And the fact to have this second chance, it's beyond me.
And again, I want to get back to what Carrie was talking about, Jax, because Carrie was talking about that, talking about being candid. You're talking about don't put our darkness in a closet, mm-hmm. right? I mean, what are we going to create if we just, each of us, pretend that we don't have the light and the dark within? That's part of our human experience. But at the same point, we're talking about an integration in a way. It's an honesty that's necessary. And this is what I was sharing at the very beginning of the program, is what I was learning from my experience with my religious background was that I had to basically get rid of the darkness, that the darkness was like my nemesis, and I couldn't, I basically fought it. It brought me much mental anguish, because I was trying to totally disintegrate it as opposed to integrate it. So now here I am going, yes, I am dark and light, and yes, it's a choice. And I, you know, it's the same thing with assets and defects of character, which I had to write about. You know, the good things about me and the bad, not so good things about me. But it's interesting how our defects of character are actually just our assets kind of gone awry. So maybe that is true in a sense with the darker, lighter places of us. So if we're fighting the darkness, it's only natural that the darkness gets more enhanced, because we're giving it more attention in the fight. So I'd love to see all of us just go, you know what? I'm both, and it's beautiful, and it's what I choose to focus on, what defines my own life experience and your experience of me. Because if I personally chose to reside in my darker place, and I'm a Scorpio, so it can be dark, I'll tell you that. you probably wouldn't like me very much, because I would be totally acting out in all of my defects of character. But if I can accept that I have these defects, I recognize them, and I can just sort of turn them into assets, it just makes my experience all the better, and your experience of me so much better too. And then I can reside more in the love of myself, as opposed to hating the parts of me that I don't want to have. I think the most important thing is that each of us fall in love with ourselves first, that we fall in love with our past, with our present, with our defects of character, whatever you want to call it, and then just be okay. Just be okay.
Yeah, and this reminds me of, you know, there's this whole idea with, like, animal totems and, like, animal spirits, you know, being resonating with us and having their roles in our lives. And each totem animal has its normal characteristics, and it has its shadow characteristics. And we have our regular totem, and we have shadow totems as well that represent basically when their normal attributes get twisted and turned inside out by us completely distorting things and, you know, shoving them in the darkness and saying, oh, look, they'll go away that way. So, you know, it's definitely something that's a huge challenge, because what we put there is the stuff that we're ashamed of and the stuff that embarrasses us or that we just don't want to accept about ourselves, even if they're not bad things. And so, you know, we put it there, and then, yeah, I mean, I think it's a horrible thing to teach someone that they have to just deny the darkness within. But then people that fall into that trap also, they have a hard time seeing gray. So they think if you're not denying it, then that means to accept it means you're going to act out on it. So if you have rage problems and you say, well, if I'm just going to accept that darkness, I'm going to run around beating people up. And it's like, no, where do you get that conclusion from? I think a lot of those ideas come from people who are very stuck in black and white thinking, and they can't see the shades of gray that's necessary in order to accept ourselves and love ourselves and to release that darkness within so that it isn't controlling our behavior and making our lives absolutely miserable.
Well, that was very well put, and I love how you shared about the fear that if we actually look at the darker places of ourselves, of our psyches, if we actually even embrace it, that it will run awry and amok and create all sorts of chaos. When I feel the opposite is true as well, Jax. I think that if we were to just say, you know, it's okay to have anger, it's okay to be sad, to be depressed, but it's what we do with each of it, what we do with it and how we express it. It's going to come out worse if we repress all of these things. And no wonder we have priests who are sexually violating young children because they're being told that they're not supposed to have sex, to go against their very nature. This is my opinion, to go against their very nature. And then what happens? It comes out in an abhorrent way. It comes out in an unhealthy way, in a damaging way. So we just have to kind of take a look at all parts of ourselves, and instead of dismissing a part, just accept all of it. And each of us are trying to find balance. And I think, again, so we're coming back to love, hatred, light, dark, yin, yang. You know, accept all of the pieces of ourselves and recognize that we each have a choice as to what we wish to focus on. But I think it's so important for each of us to recognize that all of us is beautiful and all of us is just fine. And just be okay with each other, be okay with ourselves. And with that, I'm going to have to sign off with the program. That's our hour. I want to say thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Jax. This has been a really wonderful conversation. You've brought a lot to us and to our listeners, so thank you. Bless you. And this is Hologram signing off, saying kiss a tree, love each other, love yourselves. Our new single is coming out June the 1st, The Fusion, the song you heard at the beginning of the program. And we wish you all, you. Take care.